This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrills the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
We're having a party, dancing to the music.
Well, you could be dancing to the car content on Motormouth Radio with your hosts Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, because that's what we do here. We talk about cars, and with my lovely assistant over here, Chris. How are you, brother?
Lovely today.
Hey. Yeah. How's everything?
That's the best news I heard all day, being lovely. I'm doing well. I'm doing better now.
Yeah.
Doing a lot better now, Ray. How are you?
We're doing good, Chris. And I got to tell you, we're still playing around with your audio. We're working. This is like a laboratory over here. It's a kitchen of audio mixology, if you will. And
we have to make this a feature. We're going to make this a feature here at Motormouth Radio, where it's let's just do some technical work 5 minutes into our program,
right?
And then talk about cars.
Yeah, we're good at that. I'll tell you why. Because our web dude had, you're wondering maybe why the old music, the oldies stuff that was considered oldies when we were in school, which is
a long time ago. Yes. Well, I was in school during the, what would you say, late 60s till now.
Right. Well, yeah. A lot of us go back.
We're still in school.
Well, that's it. We are kind of students for life, but
we are. It's funny because I remember I started public school in the late 60s and graduated high school in the early 80s. So that was, I guess you could say, my musical sweet spot.
Yeah.
Were those times. I mean, I'm a big fan of the oldies. Don't get me wrong. I was, when the 80s were around, I was listening to 50s music. So I was completely off the mark at the time. But it was a great time for music. And it's kind of funny because it's like when I listen to new music, I've gotten to that point in my life where I used to make fun of these people that used to say, oh, that music all sounds the same. Well, you know what? It does. All the new music to me sounds the same. I'm trying to embrace it. I'm trying to listen to it. I'm trying to find what you would call the popularity in it, the quality of it.
Yeah.
I don't see it. And this is what's sad, because I want to listen to some sort of current music, and I'm drawn air.
You're right.
Not finding anything good.
You can go and get your compilation of 125 golden oldies. And the reason this was, I'll tell you, and I'll out them right here. Our web dude I spent some time with him this week, and he was very enamored with some 50s music. You remember the Cruisin' series of albums that were out? It was Cruisin' 55, Cruisin' 56, Cruisin' 57. And he said, gee, you guys don't play enough oldies. You should play more stuff that's from that era. And I said, hey, you know what? I got it. No problem. We'll take care of that. So.
Okay, oldies. All right. So that's what we're doing. We're going to be doing that for the rest of the spring and summer of 22.
We'll see.
That's right. So instead of where were you in 62, it's where were you in 22?
Now, that's a great tagline from a lot of people of certain ages would not remember where that was from.
Right.
Very popular movie. If you know, give us a call, 516-572-7440. But you may crash into our guest. We have our good friend and Authorian. How the hell would you say that? From Automoblog, Mr. Carl Anthony, coming in with us today. So we'll talk to Carl all about some the stuff that they do. So much stuff I can't even keep up with it. I really can't. You know, it's
I periodically check Automoblog, which I like to affectionately call but yeah, I affectionately check it. And there's always something new. There's always something current, and it's such a. And I know I should tell Carl this. I'm sure he's tired of hearing me say it, but it's such a great site.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go on a site. You want to find the information, click on the information, have it there, read it, and either keep going or bail out. There's no fluff. It's just hard news, attractive images. It really is. It's a well thought out, well placed site, and it's nice to go to. And
yeah,
it's a good place to be.
You know,
basically.
And like us, you can follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Automoblog. Mm-hmm. We're Motor Mouth Radio on, of course, on the net and on Facebook, Faccia Bruta for our ethnic friends. And where else? On the web, on there, and on Twitter. And of course, we're Real_MotorMouthRadio on Instagram. So, hey, I did something this week. I did something yesterday that I haven't done in years.
You combed your hair.
Come up with your own lines, will you? No.
Although that was to.
I know. That's a good one. No, I actually worked on a car in the snow.
What?
We've talked about this.
I got two words. Grow up.
Yeah. Hey, when you got to work on the car and there's nowhere else to do it, you do it on the driveway. And it was yesterday, and I knew there were squalls coming through.
Oh, you were working on a car during that snow squall we had up here in the glorious Northeast?
Yeah, you know, a buddy of mine, I was on the phone with him, and he was entering a town a few towns away and said, hey, it just started snowing. And I'm like, oh, no, I hope it's going the other way, not my way. He was east of me. And right. I had some work to do. And then, of course, I got another phone call, so he just tripped me up a little more. I could have easily not been I could have just missed it. But no, the way timing was, I'm out there working on the Mazda. I'm playing with the oxygen sensor and the catalytic converter and all. I actually put in one of those extenders, as Steve recommends from, of course, from the body shop.
Nice. I like when you smile when you say that.
I know. But I had to cut the ties off that I used last time. So I had to do some snipping and cutting before you could extend. So
No, that's not good.
But anyway, you know, you get the car up. I threw it on some ramps in the driveway, and it was a matter of, you know, getting the tools. I'm like, oh, here we go. Now the snow just starts. We didn't get hit with a really heavy, heavy one, but I said, here I am. It's like I'm, you know, it's like I'm 18 again, working outside in the snow, you know. And I was halfway through, and I said, you know what, I could just put it back together, and I said, or I could keep going. I said, let me
ask you a question. Yeah. I know you a long time, young man. Let me ask you a question that I think is a little personal. I may be stepping over the line here, but I want to ask you about this job. What were you wearing?
My bikini and a pair of Crocs and a fuzzy hat. No, I was actually wearing my street clothes.
Oh, my gosh. I got that picture in my mind. Please.
Good.
Get
good.
The hat in my head.
Good. And I my goofy hat. I found my goofy hat. No, I was wearing my.
Oh, no. I got the goofy hat.
To really answer the question, the most out of the way I went to dress for the occasion was I did put on a sweatshirt, which I don't usually wear, and I had a work jacket on, and that was it. And, you know, and I did have a pair of gloves because it was kind of cold. I made sure I had my insulated work shoes on, and because it really wasn't a long – it should have gone quicker than it did, but I had to I had the car raised on one side, then I had to switch it to raise it just from the front, and I had trouble putting that extended bung into the pipe. It didn't want to catch the threads for some reason.
The snow, it's all totally caused in the snow, because if it was a beautiful sunny 70-degree day, it would have fit right in.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there were a few little stumbling blocks along the way, but yeah, I didn't dress, you know, I didn't go for DEFCON 4. It wasn't Yeti weather or anything. I wasn't, you know, nothing like that. Just kind of regular street clothes, and because I wasn't really cold. You know, when I'm working like that, I kind of like to work in the cooler weather. I do. And, you know, I mean, cold is cold. Don't get me wrong. When it's cold, you're cold. But
yeah, you can't dance your way out of that last statement there.
Yeah, I know.
No way. I'm sitting here going, no, any cold is cold. I don't want to deal with it.
I was more concerned that the weather would get worse and or go to like a rain, like a precipitation type of thing. And that would be bad. Because now you're going to get wet. So right now I was kind of under the car doing this. So I really wasn't, you know, my legs were sticking out. So I wasn't really in the weather per se. I was under the car. But I was just very aware that, hey, this could change at any minute. And, you know, and luckily we didn't get hit with the big part of the school. So we were okay after that. So that was my fun for the week. then I went down and did some work in the basement. I took a cabinet apart and I had to erect the big thing of shelves and then of course I'm wearing this copper thing. My arthritis in my hand today it's going right up into my wrist. It's killing me. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's and I'll tell you, we're getting to that age here at Motor Mouth Radio where we're going to be talking about more health issues.
A few points. Because
I have it too. My left hand, the muscle between my thumb and my index finger, all of a sudden just tense up.
That's it.
And I could be having coffee in the morning, and all of a sudden I'll look at my hand and go, ah! Yeah. And my family thinks I'm crazy. I'm like, all of a sudden there's shooting pain in my hand.
That is
trying to put it under my arm. I'm like running around. It's like it's on fire. I'm like, ah!
Right. Yeah, no,
running around with my hand. It's just, it's incredible. I totally get. We're going to be literally, we're going to be discussing like health issues. We're getting to that point in our lives that it's just we're all falling apart slowly.
Yeah.
But I got to hand it to you, Ray. You were out there in that snow squall. I couldn't even walk out. I mean, my wife walked in the door. She walked like literally from one spot to another outside. She walks in and she's covered in snow, covered literally. And she walked 150 feet. And I was like, what in the world? Holy smokes. Yeah. It was like the sky got dark and it was just all the snow was everywhere all at once. It was like a sunny day, and then three minutes later, it's like,
yeah.
And
then the oceans cooled and the earth formed, and then we had a guest, and then we had
when that happened. Carl Anthony from Automoblog arrives in the mist.
And of course, you know, the guy sitting in the studio is having, but you know, he actually has an on air light. I want one of those.
Am I good to come on now?
Yes, Carl.
Yes, you are. Always welcome. And that on-air light is slick and exotic.
And look at this.
Yeah, isn't that cool? I got that special just for, well, I mean, I've had it for a while, but I thought, you know what, I'll put it up today because, you know, just because of the occasion of being here for Motor Mouth Radio, I thought it fit.
Well, unfortunately,
it clashes with my fluorescent lights and exposed beams here in the basement.
But I like that though, Chris. I mean, that's a good style. I also brought my radio face along today too, so that way everybody can see it and, you know. So you're talking about music, right? And at the beginning of this, and do either of you guys, do you ever listen to classic vinyl?
Channel
26 on Sirius XM.
It's 20, what do I got? Is it 25, 6, and 7 or 6, 7? Because it's like classic vinyl, classic rewind, and then deep tracks all in a row.
Yes. There's a guy on there named Earl Bailey.
Oh, yeah, Earl Bailey, sure.
Who is like, if I was going to be on the radio, like, that's the guy I look up to. He's like silky smooth voice, you know, knows all of the artists from back in the day, from the cassette era of rock and roll. You know, just he was talking the other, I was listening and, Woodstock came on, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. It's one of my favorites. That song's like kryptonite to me. I love that tune. And he's talking about, you know, back in the day when, you know, Neil Young was, you know, just young and, you know, there's stuff you wouldn't know unless you were there. Right. I love listening to him on the air. So I love all that old classic rock too, you know, and I listen to the new stuff. There's some of it I like, but then, Chris, I'm kind of like you where I'm like, yeah, that's like in my day, music was a lot better. You know, they played their instruments back then.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they
played their electronic instruments.
Carl, yes. I'll tell you something. And of course, with your slick new podcasting microphone that you're going to sound better than all of us with, that's very, very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Earl Bailey goes back to the AOR days, the early days of like the late 60s, early 70s. He was, Chris, check me on this. I believe he was a New York DJ for a while.
I'm looking now. I actually have his Sirius site up here online, and I'm looking. I'm trying to see if I can get some history on him.
Earl Bailey's like a Pete Fornatel. I mean, the guy just knows everything. You know,
I love it. I love it when he's on. And Earl Bailey, if you are listening now, please contact us at Audible Blog. Just, you know, like seriously, I don't know if you want to write about cars, but you know, we'll find a spot for you somewhere.
Yeah. You know. I'm trying to see where he, what his history is, because the name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And no, we didn't cross paths, but I did work in a couple of classic rock stations up here in the late 80s and early 90s. Yeah. And yeah, you really do have to shift gears when you're on the air playing classic rock. And it was actually easier for me because I was doing overnights at the time. So it was, you know, it was 95.9, the old New Fox, Connecticut classic rock and roll. You just heard from The Who and Eminence Front. And, you know, it was that sort of, had that very conversational sound, which was tough to do when you were trying to stay awake.
Right. Yeah. And you were living off coffee and you always had your third shift listeners, right? You know, a lot of third shifters.
Late shifters. Yeah. They were the most fun. They were the best. And I couldn't put them on the air because the program director would always yell at me.
Right.
Put them on the air.
Which is why I like WHPC, the station that we're on right now. I mean, that's, you know, that's good college radio. I love that. You know, I love college radio stations because that's a little bit different than the corporate beat, you know. So I love it. You just get more shows like a Motor Mouth Radio where you get the opportunity and, you know, different music and different personalities. And so I love it.
It's really true. Radio has gotten there's been a stranglehold on radio in the last 10 years, I would say at least 20. And I think stations like WHPC do break that mold and we can do shows like this and exchange information and have a good time. And that's what radio is all about. It's just having a good time. And I'm a big fan of it.
I love it. And thank you for the kind words about Audible Blog. We love coming here. I love coming here. And you know, I enjoy our banter back and forth on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
Definitely. Carl, the work shows, the substance shows. I mean, the work that you put into this website, into automoblog.com is just, it's stellar. It's very cool.
Thank you.
Actually, I did want to ask you a question.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I want to ask you a question, and it was something that you had taken off, because I know information moves quickly on your site, but it was, you had covered the Haggerty bull market for 2022, and this is something that I hold near and dear. I love to know what vehicles are going to be more valuable. I want to find those cars. That has always been my passion. Buy what you can at a low price and kind of enjoy it for a couple of years or a couple of months or whatever have you, and then sell it at a higher price.
Yes.
And what was really cool was I read your article quickly and I found that you and I have the same taste in vehicles, because if I remember correctly, out of the cars, now there was the Caddy Coupe de Ville, there was a Ferrari Dino, Land Rover, a Mazda RX-7, Mercedes-Benz 230 SL, Pontiac GTO, Porsche 968, Suzuki Samurai, the Tesla Roadster, and the Volvo. Correct. And if I remember correctly, you went for, I think, the same three cars I did. You picked the Caddy.
Yes, of course. Right? Detroit.
Yes. You picked the GTO.
Yes. Detroit again.
And you picked the Mazda RX-7. Am I right?
Yes. You are 100% right. And here's the story on this. So I grew up in a small rural Iowa farming community, which there's only three vehicles that I mostly ever saw during my life, a Ford, a Chevy, and a Dodge, and a lot of trucks, right? And this is even before SUVs were a thing. This is back in the minivan craze. So everybody has a Plymouth Voyager, everybody has a Dodge Caravan, and then shortly thereafter, they have like a Ford Windstar or an Astrovan or something of that nature, right?
Right.
So as a side example, when Infiniti was launched here in Detroit in 1989 at NAIS, so same year Lexus and Infiniti were launched at the same time, in the summer of 1990, a friend or a family member of one of my neighbors came to visit. I was a kid. I was, you know, like 9 years old. And I remember seeing this beautiful black car. And I'm like, what is an Infiniti? Like, I had no idea what that car really stuck out. And I think that that family member or friend was from Florida or California or one of those exotic locales. So they're in town visiting family, right? But they're driving this black Infiniti. You know, and I had gotten pretty good as a kid with the help of my dad and my grandmother, you know, of recognizing cars, but an Infiniti was, you know, something I had never seen. So a few years, you know, later on, somewhere in the early 90s, a gentleman moves into the neighborhood. He's a teacher at one of the local schools, but he's got a black Nissan Maxima. And then he has like a sky blue-ish Mazda RX-7. And here we go. Two other cars that in my neighborhood full of minivans and, you know, everybody's got a Dodge or everybody's got a Chevy. And, you know, if they're a little bit older, they have a Buick, you know, with the luggage rack on the back, right? Because that was a classic look and feel.
Of course.
And I'm like, what in the world is a Mazda RX-7? And it was the coolest car that this is in the early 90s, like 92, 93.
Sure.
You know, those were cars you didn't see where I grew up. So they stuck out immensely. And, you know, looking back, what I know about cars now, we would have, you know, that old neighbor of mine, and I've long lost touch with, you know, people from that era of my life, but he's what we'd classify as a Nissan and Mazda guy. You'd be like, oh, that's my friend Tom, and he's a Nissan guy, and he's a Mazda guy. So I picked the RX-7 because it just reminds me of my childhood. It just reminds me of being a little kid and seeing this car that looked like it was literally out of a magazine or some futuristic movie. It looks so cool to me. And then, obviously, Mazda's rotary engine and all of that stuff is neat and all wrapped up in the history. But, yeah, those were my picks for the hot list that I really liked, you know.
Right. And that's what I found impressive was you avoided some of the, I guess you could say, the obvious choices like the Ferrari Dino or the Land Rover Defender or even the Porsches. And the Suzuki Samurai on that list was the sleeper to me as far as totally. I was like, really, that thing? Yep. But you picked, I always go for three. You went for three. We picked the same three. I'm just glad I'm in with good company.
Thanks.
See, you know what I'd like to see?
Hagerty is great to work with. You know, they're fantastic. Their headquarters is up here, you know, in the Detroit area and whatnot. A couple of years ago, we also covered the bull market list, and there was the International Harvester truck on there. You know, and then that was this was 2 years ago, just in 2020, and that was the Dodge Viper era and the Fast and the Furious cars that had just rocketed to the top of the list.
Sure.
Driven mostly by older millennials and younger Gen Xers going, okay, you know, I've got a little money in my pocket. You know, what can I do maybe to get into the collector car hobby? I grew up watching Fast and the Furious, or I had a Viper poster on my wall. I mean, when I was growing up as a kid, everybody liked the Dodge Viper. And as far as I knew, they were available in one color, red. Because everything you ever saw was a red Dodge Viper. So a couple of years ago, those cars shot to the top of the list. And now it's completely different. That's what I love about the hot list for Hagerty. It's just you never know what you're going to expect. It's exciting every year to see it.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see an article written by people who could compile the information on how the people who, like yourself, who pick the cars, what metric they use to pick those cars, because you just exposed it right here. And, you know, and I think that's fantastic.
And I wonder, don't quote me on this, I wonder if Hagerty does it by like what the top searched vehicles are, what they're getting quotes for as far as insurance, like, you know, if they have an uptick in quotes, like if there's an uptick for Pontiac GTOs for insurance quotes, because I know, like, you know, cars.com will do this too, after the Super Bowl, they sent out a press release compiling all of the electric vehicle commercials that played last weekend. And Cars.com was able to go through and see the search metrics, how they had just, no pun intended, surged with electric vehicles. You know, their searches for EVs were up like through the roof, right? So, and then they can take that data, aggregate it, you know, crunch it down, roll it up, put it in a nice little package and say, well, you know, this year, these were the most popular vehicles based on this. So I'm sure Hagerty has a similar system where they look at, you know, kind of where the market's going, but that would be my guess anyway, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, they can easily do that because they have, of course, people calling in for insurance quotes, and not as many people ever are going to ask for Dino quotes or, you know, or the Super Eye and stuff as they are for other. And now the GTO being an older car are affordable, and you know you can jump into the market with one.
Right. But, you know, Ray, I think I remember writing an article a couple years back similar to this topic about young people getting on, and I believe I quoted you in that article. And one of the things you had said was just, it's neat to watch, you know, young people get into the hobby, how preferences change and, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But what did you say? Like, you said something about like Cords and Duesenbergs, like they were popular, but nobody could get them, like back when you were starting collecting and things like that. Your perspective was great. I got to look at that article again, but I loved your perspective when I sat down and interviewed you for that.
I thank you, because I was asked a question. We've talked about that a lot with other people. And yeah, when we were younger, those were the cars that were the auction vehicles, brass era cars, and those were the, you know, the Model T's. They were the iconic vehicles that you couldn't get near. And now you can turn a really cool turnkey Model A that needs nothing for under 10 grand. You know, it's ridiculous. So it's the way the market changed. So those were our icons, and now they're not anymore, because the people, you know, Tony D'Agostino had used the term so succinctly on the show that those groups of people are aging out, you know. Yep. So the guys, now we would still pick up a Cord or a Doozy if it was the right price because we know them, but you think a millennial would, or someone who's in their 20s? No, they're not going to know how to start the car.
Right. You know? Right. So. And they're so massive. I mean, when you look at, you know, back in the day, I spent part of my career in, you know, product development with Ford before I, you know, was doing Automoblog full time and stuff like that. And our team at Ford was really focused on weight reduction, massively weight reduction. So, you know, and that kind of never leaves your head. It's one thing about working in the automotive business, you sort of, there are things that you take with you and you just can't unsee them. You just can't forget them. So I always think it's so interesting when I go to old car shows and I see old Mustangs, and I always go to the Mustang logo on the front, and I'm always amazed at how heavy it is, right? Because that was the opposite when I was working for Ford, where it was like, get the weight down. You know, we've got a 5-liter engine in the Mustang, but Camaro and Challenger, they're running 6.2s, so they're running larger V8s, but we got to get the weight down. You know, we have to slice the weight off of everything. That wasn't just Mustang. I mean, that was every vehicle, you know. So it's like you see those big Rolls Royces and those Cords and those Duesenbergs, and you're like, and the old Packards, wow, there's a lot of metal.
Sure.
So there's a lot of heft on this car.
Interesting that at Ford you had
and
focused
also,
on
that. If you
that.
Think about it, the cars do weigh about the same because safety equipment is heavy.
It is.
And that old Packard was just a hollow box that happened to be built like a tank, but there were no beams in the doors. There were no airbags of any kind. There was no padding. There was nothing like
fellas,
that.
What I,
that was probably the challenge that you guys at Ford had to adapt to, because you had to add more safety equipment, add more computer equipment, and try and take away the weight. Weight is the enemy. Who said? Someone had said weight is the enemy. I can't remember who.
Colin Chapp was pretty.
Was it Colin Chapp? Lotus
was really,
You know, when I recently.
Light, tight equals right. That's a Colin Chapman thing.
I love it.
Which is contrasted with Enzo Ferrari, who was like, well, aerodynamics are for people who can't build engines, you know. And we have on our Twitter page, on the top of our Twitter page, one of Enzo Ferrari's famous quotes where he said, you know, I don't build cars. I don't sell cars. I sell engines. I make engines, and I just throw the cars in for free because something has to hold the engines, right? Yeah. So it's a completely different mindset, you know.
Which is funny. Enzo Ferrari, just to jump in for one second, he actually, what did he do? His passion, his his V12, he tailored his V12 after the Packard V12.
Right.
So it's funny how it comes full circle. Yeah.
It's amazing. And, you know, you're right. It comes full circle. And here's the interesting thing. When, you know, working on sort of like the journalism and content creation side, the more things change, the more they stay the same, right? Mm-hmm. So like, for example, with big vehicle releases, so let's like Ford Bronco, you know, GMC Hummer and vehicles like that that have a lot of excitement. You can go back into press archives, into media archives from any of those automakers, and you can read what the press releases were and what the product specs were for cars back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, right? And so when the new Bronco came out and, you know, Ford on their media website had a lot of resources for journalists there, a lot of archive photos, which we put up at Automoblog. That was fun to do. But they had press releases dating back all the way to the late 60s and early 70s when the Bronco first came out. And there was a quote in there about how more Americans at the time, this is in the late 60s, more Americans at the time are getting interested in off-roading because they want to get out and they want to see the country and they want to experience the great outdoors. And I'm going, that's exactly what people want to do today, you know? and then you go through these press, whether it's a Honda, whether it's a Ford, you go through these old press releases and there's lines like, the engine design, you know, maximizes efficiency and performance, right? Well, that's the same stuff they say today. You know, the suspension, you know, gives a compliant ride and helps inspire driver confidence. That's the same, you know. Packard is famous with their torsion level ride. You know, there was no car more comfortable. I'm like, well, that's what Buick says about their quiet tuning and, you know, what GM says about magnetic ride control. So in some regards, it's the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that is what's cool about automotive. It's neat to see the business progress the way that it has.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what else has progressed? We have progressed to the bottom of the hour, and it's time to take a break. So, Chris, do you have a honor group of the hour to share with us today?
Of course. Today on Motormouth Radio, the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour, drivers with items in their cars they consider lucky. Are you out to improve your vehicle's feng shui? Do you have a red ribbon or a red horn or that pepper in your coupe de ville? Do you keep a lucky pair of fuzzy dice in your hot rod? Are you always finding loose change on the floor of the car from those well-wishers tossing the money in? Hey, take us some money. Yeah, hey, take us some money. Right? Is there a lucky penny, a lucky nut, a lucky toothpick, a lucky charm, a box of lucky charms, a lucky keychain, a lucky wrench, a shrunken head, two shrunken heads, rosary beads, a paperclip, two paperclips, a St. Christopher medal, a Star David, a rabbit's foot, two rabbit's feet, the whole rabbit? I know I'm probably leaving out something. Well,
no, I think you're putting in quite enough.
If you have a car full of luck, and it seems to be working, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
All right. And I'll tell you what, as always, we need to mention that if you're free on Thursdays at 3 p.m., you may want to listen on this fine station to a show called Tower Talk Business Radio, where they highlight the best of Long Island by providing all-access interviews with the NCC Foundation Business Leaders Council, top entrepreneurs, and local business owners who will discuss a range of topics that impact both owners and executives alike. And with that in mind, we were talking about oldies in the beginning of the show. We're talking about cars that are oldies now. So let's tribute that with a little, you'll remember Little Caesar and the Romans, Chris. I remember you probably played those on the all-night oldies station that you worked at.
Wait, was that those oldies but goodies remind me of you?
Boy, I think you need a key tune-up in there. You get a little bit of a...
I love that. I'm going to save the recorded version of this show and just isolate that part there, Chris.
Yeah, that'd be
it's going to be my ringtone.
All right, well, let's see a little Caesar do it a little better. And we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Carl Anthony, and hopefully we'll get to some of this topicality that I have notes on here. I don't know. We'll
love
see.
Love it. We'll do it.
Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
Those oldies are good.
This
show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Carl Anthony with Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motor Mouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
Those oldies but good.
You can sing the refrain if you want, Chris, if you want to take us out with a little bit of a cappella. But maybe you should leave that to Carl.
Stretch my vocal cords.
Yeah. All right, Satch. Very good. All right, we're back. Motor Mouth Radio, here to talk about cars, car problems, car things, insurance stuff, all sorts of stuff. 516-572-7440. You can get on this and speak with Carl Anthony if you'd like.
Yes.
And, Carl, we were going to talk about insurance, right?
Yes.
You had a nice piece on insurance on Automoblog this week that caught my eye. You want to kick it off, or should we?
Yes. Yes. So you texted me Wednesday night, Ray, and we have down in North Carolina, or up in North Carolina, wherever you're listening. If you're Chassis John listening in Florida, so in North Carolina, we have an incredible research team that compiles these warranty and insurance articles, our tire guides, these real consumer guides that really vet these companies and vet these products. We have a whole research team in North Carolina dedicated to this. So, Ray, when you texted me on Wednesday night, I thought, well, I got to talk to the people who are smarter than me. So they ended up sending over some really good talking points and some really good data, stuff that I hadn't thought of. But the big question that our research team was after is, okay, you've seen commercials or email marketing for car warranties and stuff like that. Maybe you've received a cold call or things like that. Okay, that's great, you know, maybe for a new vehicle, but, you know, if you have a high mileage vehicle, is there a such thing as an aftermarket warranty? Because Ray, Chris, as you guys know, and everybody listening in Motor Mouth Radio Land from being in the shop, cars just experience more issues as they age. That's just a natural kind of, you know, you do the best you can. It's just, you know, my wife, Danielle, and I, with our focus, you know, we're as proactive as we can, you know, but there's 114,000 miles on that little car. So you just think, well, you know, you do the best you can, but there's going to be an issue that's going to pop up just because it's old, right? But
Carl, I have a man that calls me every week that wants to renew my extended warranty from India. What a convenience.
So this is where it gets into, if you're considering coverage, what coverage do you need? And better yet, who do you go with? So our team in North Carolina, so we started with as many extended warranty companies as we possibly could. They came up with a list of 60. And I didn't, okay, for one, I didn't even know that there were 60 extended warranty companies out there.
I didn't either.
So our research team comes up with this list of 60. And then they start looking for specific things. So what would be the best ones for this type? What's the best warranty for an SUV, right? And things like that. So they go down and they break it down. In this case, they said of those 60 companies we've identified, you know, which ones are the best for high mileage vehicles, right? Which ones would be the best? There are five that we have come up with: Endurance, Car Checks, Car Shield, Autopalm, and then Olive. Now, those are the five that kind of rose to the top of the list. So we would say, look, you know, if you really are seriously considering a warranty for a high mileage vehicle, probably start with one of those companies first. We like them because they offer sample contracts online. So that's one thing. And it doesn't matter whether you have a high mileage vehicle. If you're shopping for any kind of aftermarket warranty, our research team has determined that the best companies, companies that that have the best customer service and tend to really be the best at offering this, they tend to have sample contracts ahead of time that you can view online, or you can request them and maybe have them emailed to you. But those sample contracts will go through a list of every part that's covered or a list of every part that is excluded. So regardless, you know, we recommend that no matter what type of vehicle you have, truck, SUV, car, whether it's a new one, whether it's a maybe kind of not so new, or whether it's an older one with high mileage, whatever you're doing, look to have a sample contract first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know we have a good friend, Pat, who has a local transmission service, transmission mm-hmm. rebuilding place. And now in the years past, I don't know about currently, I haven't spoke to him about this, but I will. He had a lot of trouble with getting these claims approved and then paid for. And the problem he has is he's got SUVs up, and he showed me this. He goes, come in the shop. And if Pat, you know, yes, I'll go. And there's these four SUVs on four lifts, and to get the transmissions and transfer cases out, whatever, sometimes the subframe comes down. This thing is dead on the lift. You are not moving this vehicle. And now he's got adjusters calling and complaining about, you know, it's a wear item. We can't do that. Or the guy can't come down today. He can't do any other work because he's tied up now on the other end. And he had a lot of problem with having these companies, follow through. So hopefully that's changed, because I was even thinking about maybe this, like, on the FJ. I'm like, hey, you know, I got 130 on that thing and it's in great shape, but why not? But you want to know that, you want to be able to know that when you bring it in somewhere, that warranty will be, you know, have some
honored.
Weight. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, and I thought about the FJ when you texted me Wednesday night, Ray. And, you know, one of the things why our research team and why we put this together at Automoblog is to give consumers a leg up, right? Because there is being inundated with all the marketing, whether that's email, whether that's phone calls, you know, and we all know that, you know, we all know the extended car warranty jokes, right? You know, hey, I've been trying to reach about your warranty. Everybody in the, we all know the jokes, right? Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of truth to saying, okay, this might be a product that I could really benefit from, but where do I go to get unbiased, straightforward information? Right. That's really more our goal here. We're not necessarily really advocating for any one company. You know, out of the 60 that we vetted, we said five, Endurance, CarCheX, CarShield, Autopalm, and Olive. If you've got a high mileage vehicle, those are the five that we would recommend. If Danielle and I were going to get an extended warranty for our car, we'd start with one of those five companies first. So that is what we and our research team can confidently say, that those would be decent companies to start with. So, and then for shoppers, it's kind of that old advice with car shopping or doing anything with a car is to always ask a lot of questions and do your research. So whether you're buying a car, but if you're buying anything for your car, for example, in this case, a warranty, right? So when you're talking to the warranty company, you might want to say, hey, you know, what's the difference if I take my car to a dealership? Or if I take my car to my local guy who's been, you know, working on my cars for 20 years, right? He's just a local mom and pop shop, right? So we would encourage our listeners of Motor Mouth Radio, but we would encourage our readers as well to really ask some of those questions. Okay, ask for a sample contract, get all the terms and condition, get all of the pricing up front, just like you would do if you were buying a car, and then ask and just say, hey, you know, I have a Mazda, but I don't go to the Mazda dealership. I'm going to go to another guy to mm-hmm. fix it. Is that, you know, would you cover that, right? And make sure you have that up front and ahead of time.
Right. Yeah, because I know in the past, I've always advised people that a dealer-based warranty is the best to get as an extended warranty. Because they sell it to you and you're going back to their place, so they're going to take it, whereas these things are more global-based. But I'd like to think that that's changing because, you know, cars now, you know, it used to be that if a car made $100,000, you were a witch doctor and you're doing some crazy stuff. Now that's, I mean, the crappiest of cars is, there's a fellow I watch on YouTube, he's a Toyota dealer mechanic and he does a channel out of his home. And everything is obviously Toyota based, but I watched one last night where he said, hey, even the crappiest Toyota is going to get $100,000. No one's even blinking. Not even thinking that's odd. He goes, I want to talk to you about how to service your car from $100,000 up to $200,000 mm-hmm. and to $300,000. And he gave his service recommendations, which were all very good. So yeah, that's,
That's yeah, and I think that for the high mileage vehicles, you know, what we typically see is that powertrain coverage is the most popular choice. And so, you know, again, these companies that we've recommended or that we've found to be the top five, they offer a lot of different options. And that's part of the reason why we recommend them, you know, so you can do your, obviously, you know, your typical bumper to bumper, but for higher mileage cars, and if you're trying to shop on a price point, which most consumers are with extended warranty, that's kind of the number one thing they're looking for. Powertrain coverage with a higher mileage vehicle, that tends to be where you get the most bang for the buck. That's what we've found. So it's essentially engine, you know, it's the powertrain's covering the most expensive stuff, you know, the stuff that you're going to go into the shop and it's going to be like, oh man, how much is this going to cost me? Right. So with high mileage vehicles, our research shows that, you know, powertrain plan only might be the best way to go. That's the most popular choice that we have found.
Maybe because I work on a lot of cars, I don't think I would go for that. I would want to know that my ABS and my EVAP system were covered, because that's where I see the most amount of faults and the most real expensive repairs. So
that's true.
But again, that's me. You know, that's my perspective from what I see. Powertrain, yeah, like I said, these engines are pretty much bulletproof, unless you're worried about, you know, a timing belt replacement. But, you know.
Well, just out of curiosity, wouldn't an EVAP code be considered a powertrain, would be fall under the powertrain guys, or
I think powertrain, I think of working components, I think of engine, transmission, I think the powertrain components,
just the answer.
Yeah. And the way, if you look at any scanner or flowchart, it's always broken out separately. You know what? We're going to go to the phones.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones, go to the phone and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths and Carl Anthony.
Chris, Ray, and Carl. How you guys doing?
Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hey, man.
What a great program.
Oh, what are you listening to? So, because we'll tune in there, too.
Well, you flew in a guest shot, and really quite informative. You guys are offering a lot of information today. So I had always used GM's extended warranty. That worked out well.
Oh, yeah.
Cost a little bit more. I went to get an extended warranty for the F-Pace, and believe it or not, it was like $6,500.
Yeah. You know, when you told us a few years ago you were buying that Jaguar, I was like, oh, that's going to be interesting in a few years.
So we traded it in and got a new one.
Okay. All right.
That worked out. It's a modest luxury for us.
Right.
Yeah. There's no major reach on that. It's just a regular F-Pace.
Very good. So, Bob, all your experience with warranties have been through the dealer with a dealer warranty?
For the Tahoe, the Suburban, and the SS.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's kind of what I always looked at as the gold standard of warranties. And, you know, it's. I hope that's changing, because it let people afford warranty coverage that obviously couldn't in the past. So
right.
And so I had a quick question for the Autoblog expert.
Later, a BMW Mercedes-Benz dealership, right? And it was the same thing. You know, so I was like, well, let me talk to our research team, because they have more experience on this ground level. And I think that one of the things about the aftermarket warranties is good is that I think, and at least this is the way when I was at a dealership now 12 years ago, you either buy the warranty when you buy the car or not at all, right? So this is kind of one of those things where maybe it's, you know, you buy the vehicle, you weren't necessarily thinking about it, or you didn't think you were going to drive as many miles as you did, or maybe it wasn't in the budget. Well, you know, now the aftermarket is your only option. So if that's the case, if you didn't get the coverage at the dealership when you bought your vehicle new for whatever reason, and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to trade it in, you know, one, vehicle shortage being what it is, which the supply is improving, you know, but the vehicle shortage being what it is, you go, well, maybe I can't get something new. So what do I do now to protect the car that I have? Maybe because I'm going to be doing a little more driving if I'm going back to work and going into the office. So one nice thing about the aftermarket is, if for whatever reason you didn't do it at the dealership, now you have the option to. But Ray, I was with you for a lot of years. I didn't, you know, if you do an extended warranty, you buy something that fits your driving habits. Mm-hmm. You know, you buy something that fits your lifestyle and your usage, and you can tailor that coverage. And then, you know, so, and then lo and behold, you know, our research team really started digging into this. I've learned a ton from them about this very topic, right?
Or you go out and you work in the snow. Bob, you had a question?
Yeah, if you don't mind, it's off topic, but I wanted to ask Carl a question because he, sure, might have the cutting edge information. Dismissing the electric cars to the side, the Mustang and the Camaro. All right, so I know the Mustang's being retooled for release. Where is the GM product bring us on the Camaro? I think maybe I'd like to get that before it goes away. What's your latest on that? I know that at one point they were going to do a Camaro Z28. They're not. You still have the ZL1, SS, and the Rally Sport. So what does he have on GM for us?
So here's my thought on that. If you're looking for a gasoline variant of any of these cars, maybe try to get one sooner than later. As far as when the Camaro would go electrified, all we've got here in Detroit is rumors. If it goes electrified at all, because then sometimes the rumor floats around that it's going away entirely. You know, somebody said this, said that, was in a meeting. Here is a bit of additional perspective that comes from Dodge. So, and this is long after the fact, but I was in a meeting with them a couple of years ago now through Midwest Automotive Media Association. And they were talking about, they were showing members of the media new versions of the Charger and Challenger, and not really like, you know, just new versions that had, you know, different badging and, you know, no engine changes or powertrain, but, you know, different, you know, blacked out packages and stuff. It's, you know, basically a, you know, new badging, right? And so one of the journalists asked in our group, just saying, hey, you know, I mean, these are heavy cars and, you know, when would they go electrified? I mean, everybody loves the 6.2 supercharged Hemi, but when will they go electrified? Will they go electrified at all? And the Dodge brass kind of hinted that they didn't deny it. They didn't come right out and say Charger and Challenger are going electrified, but they didn't deny it either. And their official response to us in the media was, well, going to a powertrain would open it up to the next level. You know, it would open up the performance to the next level. So the question then would be, if that's what Dodge is going to do, and it's highly likely, then GM has got to sit there and make a profitable case for the Camaro being an electrified vehicle. Yeah. Right now, Charger and Challenger, huge sellers for Dodge, right? If they made them electrified, there's probably a business case there that they would still continue to sell. Mm-hmm. The question that GM would have to ask is, if they go electrified with the Camaro, is there going to be a market for it? Would it sell? But right now, what we're seeing across the industry, this is happening with expensive cars, okay? It's happening with some, like the BMW V12 in the high-level 7 series. Lotus is doing this. Lamborghini is doing this. They're starting to go more electrified. So they've come out and they said, this is our last V12. This is our last of this type of car, right? So I think it's only a matter of time before that happens to Mustang and Camaro. The challenge will be keeping those cars affordable, though, because right now they are affordable performance for the money. Yeah. So electrification could raise the cost. That's why if you look at GM, GM's experimenting, not experimenting, they're releasing a new platform called the Ultium platform. I think it's Ultium, I think is how it's said. But it's a new platform that should be able to accommodate most everything in their lineup if it were electrified, right? So the question is, can they put the Camaro on that and also put other trucks and SUVs on it at the same time to keep the cost down? So my advice with stuff like that is there's always a rumor mill. Automakers will never tell you what their thoughts are, right? You know, like they're never going to, but I have been saying to people here and in the car circles I run with here in Detroit, that if you want a gasoline variant of some of these cars, buy soon, because there's a good chance that before long they're going to switch over to electrified. When that happens, I don't know. And Camaro is notorious for never, you know, it's rumored to go away, then it's coming back, then it's going to get this version, then it's going to get that version, right? You know, Camaro is a tough one.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go, Bob. It's buy soon, but not that soon.
Guys, I can't thank you enough. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, Bob. Always a pleasure.
So long.
Yeah.
It's funny you should mention that, Carl, because General Motors has been trying to have use one platform and put all of their vehicles on one platform for years. I remember them talking about it for 20 years. And I have to laugh because Subaru does it successfully, I feel. Mm-hmm. They do it successfully with all of their vehicles. Oh, same engine, same drivetrain, same platform. And Ford, I think, is doing it too. With their, like, the Explorer Mustang sort of family of vehicles.
And then Volvo had their SPA architecture. SPA was an acronym for scalable product architecture, where they could put the XC90 on it, and then they could put, you know, the next step down, right, in their SUVs and stuff. Yeah. What I understand GM is doing is GM is looking at this and saying, okay, we have to figure out a way to make cars profitable beyond the dealership. So, for example, if you buy a new whatever Chevy Blazer, right? Okay, that's great. GM makes a profit off of that. But if the car is software defined, not mechanically defined, software defined, that's what these new platforms are. Then later on, 2-3 years down the road, they can release new services, much like an app on your phone that you would pay for later. So automakers like GM, it's not just GM. GM's just very vocal about it right now, but automakers are going, okay, could we introduce more services and updates after the fact over the air and make additional monies and revenue streams off of them? So you buy a car and, I don't know, a year later, an update comes out for the infotainment system, or, you know, an update comes out for, you know, some new feature. Obviously, safety features in the interest of should be free, right? So, sure. You know, the safety updates would be free. But, you know, for some neat update to the infotainment system,
Carl,
maybe you pay for that.
Speaking of phones, our blue light, like your blue light, is flashing. So we have a call. Yeah. Caller, okay. You're on with the Motor Mouth.
I'm Chris. John, how are you?
Yeah, John, what's happening?
Hey, John. Hey.
I wanted to throw, I bought an extended warranty for my Ram 1500 that extended it out to 8 years, 80,000 miles.
Wow.
And I'm going to say it was somewhere in the 2K range. The rub that with it was right. It came direct from Fiat Chrysler, and the guy, it almost sounded too good to be true. And I went to the dealer and asked, and they said, "No, that's all legit. They sell this. It extends it 8 years, 80,000 miles. But the cool part is you don't have to use it.
Right.
So, say the window regulator goes bad, and it's a $200-$300 repair at the dealer." It's your option to pay out of pocket. At the end of the 8 years, 80,000 miles, they give you everything back except the New York State sales tax.
Wow.
Okay.
That sounded too good to be true, and I investigated it and went, wow.
Yeah.
It's not a high mileage vehicle, but, if the 8-speed transmission takes a dive,
right.
I don't want to know what that cost.
Well, John, I tell you what, it's a fascinating topic. Unfortunately, our phone's lit up at the end of the show, and we have to go.
Guys, have a great day. Just threw that
John,
out there for food for thought.
Thanks, John.
Yeah. Have a great one.
All right. With that, Carl, we have to end. We got to go. Kim's coming in to do Thunder Road, so we got to get out of here. We will speak offline, and next week we're going to have the guy from Power Probe on, Dean from Power Probe. So
nice.
Carl, thank you for being with us.
Carl, always come on back. I love when the phones are on fire when you're here. It's always
love
a
it.
Pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for all your support. And
no problem.
We'll look forward to it next time.
Okay,
we'll see
guys.
You guys soon, okay?
Thanks. So, Chris, what do we always say with, what does John say that you always say that when we get out of here?
Don't follow us home and read automoblog.
.net.
.net.
Absolutely. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, and Carl Anthony, we're out of here. 90.3 WHPC. See ya.